Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Thursday afternoon. I had the opportunity to read a great piece the other day in The Hill. And it was about the FBI, and it is entitled How the FBI's Intelligence Experiment Went Wrong. And as I was reaching out to the gentleman who wrote it, another one of his pieces also was published, and it talked about the FBI being one of, I think, just one of the few law enforcement agencies in America that doesn't actually record their interviews. This was at the heart of the General Michael Flynn matter, right? I mean, if you have this document, this 302, just being rewritten by other people, why wouldn't you just go to the tape? So I wanted to get Jim Casey on about both of these items, and I'm thrilled to say that he's here. He's a retired special agent in charge for the FBI. Jim, thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff. Good to be here.
Yes, Jim, can you, let's start with this intelligence experiment that went wrong, as you describe it. Most of us, we think of the FBI, and we think, okay, world's best investigative agency. They go out, they solve crimes. That's what they do, but there is a little bit more to this story.
Yeah, so I think the origin of the intelligence experiment, I call it, and it's not an entire failure. I think that we can see in this case, the Crossfire Hurricane, my opinion is it's been misused. Let's go back to 9/11. If you recall, there were a number of dots that were not connected. There was the Massawi incident in Minneapolis. There was the Phoenix memo. There were all these other threads of intelligence that were out there that the FBI didn't put together before the plot that, you know, took down the World Trade Center and killed 3,000 Americans. And so rapidly, when that happened, Director Mueller, who had been on the job for 7 days, rightly observed, in my opinion, the FBI needed to be more intelligence-driven. And what he meant by that, and what I think the procedures and processes that were put in place were, that we would use intelligence to guide our investigations, and that, you know, facts would still matter, that, you know, criminal investigations and the like were still important, but they needed to be guided by and augmented by intelligence that was out there to better connect dots for threats. Mm-hmm. And so what I think we saw happen with Crossfire Hurricane, the investigation into was there collusion with, you know, the Trump campaign, was that we were using intelligence techniques apparently and then turning them around and targeting American citizens with them. And I don't think that was the, you know, quite the rationale behind using intelligence to guide investigations. It wasn't to turn it around and use intelligence techniques such as FISA, such as classified investigations, and basically target American citizens. And I think that's what happened.
So as it stands today, would you, as a career FBI agent, you're retired as a special agent in charge, would you look at the FBI and say it is an investigative agency or it is an intelligence agency?
It's both. Okay. And in fact, one of the interesting dynamics right after 9/11 was there was a serious call, and I was in D.C. around that time. I went back to FBI headquarters 4 days after 9/11. There was a serious call within, you know, the Beltway to break up the Bureau, that we needed to have, you know, kind of the MI5 model, they called it, you know, where most major Western democracies have both an internal mm-hmm. service that does law enforcement and a separate internal service that's done intelligence. And what I think Director Mueller was very successful at was saying we can do both, and here's why we need to do both. One, you know, of those Western countries, we have a constitution and a Bill of Rights, which looks much different than those other countries, even though they're democracies.
Right.
And secondly, we have what those other intelligence services want, and that's the ability to use criminal tools, you know, to go after intelligence targets, and that can be very helpful too. That's the whole idea. And so I think by instituting intelligence and bringing intelligence into the operations of the FBI more than they were, they've always been there a little bit. We've been, you know, a counterespionage and a counterintelligence agency since, you know, the very beginning.
Right. Jim Casey is joining us. Now, Jim is, well, I can say this, right? You're a proud son of Virginia. As I go down, bachelor's degree, master's degree, all this other stuff, police officer in Arlington. You have one or two connections to the Old Dominion.
I was born there, raised there, went to college there, proudly served in the Arlington PD for a number of years before I became an FBI agent, yeah.
Yeah, so when you look at the FBI's advancement procedures these days, is it the proper function? It seems to me that there are some guys, perhaps today, long after you have retired, but there would be guys today saying, yes, I'm going to the FBI, but I want to focus in that intelligence section. Other folks looking at the traditional investigation, should there be some sort of mandated cross-pollination?
There is. That's,
okay.
That's interesting you bring that up. And in fact, you know, again, after 9/11, a lot of this took place after 9/11. The intelligence component became much more professionalized. The cadre of intelligence analysts that came on board after 9/11 were real intelligence analysts that had disciplines and area studies and, you know, doing analysis for either the military, other agencies, or, you know, again, were just specialists in a certain area. And so they actually go to Quantico and are there seated in the classroom right next to FBI agents who are training to become agents. And, you know, there's a lot of cases that are worked together. Okay. There's a lot of, you know, activities that involve both of them, so they each know which part of the, you know, investigation revolves around their particular specialty.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad that you can make that clear for everyone. One of the other things that I really wanted to pick your brain on, Jim, and I appreciate you making time for us, as we have heard so much about General Flynn and Crossfire Hurricane and Peter Strzok writing and rewriting this 302, a lot of us now have become familiar with this 302, but I want you to remind everybody what it is, and can you answer the question, why the FBI doesn't just record these conversations?
Sure. So an FD-302 is kind of the seminal document of an FBI agent's daily work. It's where they record investigative information, usually in the form of interviews. So any sort of investigation that they do, whether it's a surveillance or an interview or, well, source contact would be on a little separate form. But the bulk of the work they do is on this form, FD-302. And, you know, as to why interviews are not recorded, as I wrote in the Hill, there's about five reasons, and I could go over all five of them, but, you know, part of it is historical, and that's never a good reason to keep doing what you've never done.
Right.
But as I sort of summarized in the article, I think that one of the reasons that, you know, FBI agents traditionally have not recorded interviews is the bulk of their work involves talking to people, interviewing people, and then documenting those interviews. It's a little different than even a major police department. And I should back up and say, you know, there's 18,000 some law enforcement agencies. So, you know, a lot of people have emailed me, tweeted me about the article and said, well, you know, this department, they do it that way, and other departments do this and that. And that's all true. And I get it that every department has their own policies and procedures. And I should also point out that, you know, a number of courts and district attorneys require the law enforcement agencies to record interviews. Mm-hmm. And so it's not even optional for them. But going back to your question, you know, many of the interviews that FBI agents do, they're never going to be testified to. They're never going to be controversial. They're never going to be become an issue. They're just documenting their activity on a daily basis. And so those hundreds and thousands of interviews that are done every day become part of a file and are written documents as opposed to 2 or 3 hour tape recordings that exist. Now, you know, compare and contrast to a police department where a suspect is brought in, or maybe somebody's been arrested and brought in, mm-hmm. and for the most part they're doing a in-custody interrogation of that individual. Right. And there's a tape recorder on, and they record the individual. And many times, and police officers will tell you this, you know, there's a discussion ahead of time that takes place. They talk about what happened. Then they get to the important part, and the officer or the detective will say, okay, now, you know, we're going to turn the tape. Tell me that story again.
Right.
But that's not the way most FBI investigations work or resolved. Many of them, you know, by the time an arrest is made, all the evidence, all the interviews have already been done. The arrest is just a formality. There's no further questioning after that. Mm. So the interviews are done in the field. It's not like there's, you know, rooms that you would bring every person you ever interviewed to that would, you know, have recording devices and such. General Flynn's a good example. Even if the FBI had a policy where every single interview was going to be recorded, that would probably be the one exception. FBI agents aren't going to bring recording devices into the White House. You're just not going to put a, you know, a tape recorder or a, you know, a digital device on the table in front of the National Security Advisor and say, okay, we're going to record this, so we want you to go ahead and tell us what happened here. Yeah. That's just not a likely scenario. In fact, Director Comey even said in a fairly flippant response to how this whole thing went down, yeah, I sent a couple guys over. So it wasn't even, you know, an interview that they anticipated would end up being controversial or be in a court situation. It was just an interview. And so I think the primary reason is there's so many of these interviews that take place that are just not germane to, you know, a court presentation or anything else, that it would be a lot of additional cumbersome work for the most amount of work that agents do, which is interviewing and talking to people.
Wow. That's a fascinating look at it, and I would dare say you're going to get some additional feedback now from folks saying, but, had they somehow figured out a way to record the conversation with General Flynn, we never would have been in this situation, right?
No, that's absolutely right, and that happens. I think, you know, that was one of the first reasons I said there's probably five or six reasons why the FBI has traditionally not done it, and I'll go back and say, the policy 2 years after I left in 2014 was sort of changed by DOJ to state that generally recordings, especially of people who are in custody or after arrest, should be recorded. I don't believe that to be the case these days. I don't think that most interviews are recorded. Mm. But, you know, another reason that these interviews generally are not recorded, and I talk a little bit about this in the article, and I've seen this play out in other law enforcement investigations. If you record interviews, you kind of got to record all of them, because the one that doesn't get recorded automatically becomes Defense Exhibit A. Well, you recorded all these other interviews. Why isn't the General Flynn interview recorded? Yep. Well, because they wouldn't let us take a tape recorder into the White House, you know, Secret Service rules, White House rules, things like that. So we'd probably still be in the same situation with General Flynn.
Interesting. Jim, I appreciate you being here. I'm looking forward to reading more from you. Remind everybody, these great pieces are at thehill.com. And Jim, I hope that you'll make some time for us in the future to address some other issues.
I'd love to. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Thank you, my friend. That is Jim Casey. He is a retired special agent in charge from the FBI. And he really has got these two great pieces on the Hill about the intelligence experiment, as he describes it, of the FBI, which has gone wrong. It's a great read. And then for all of us, and let's face it, every one of us, as we heard about the General Flynn matter, didn't everybody at some point say, well, why wasn't it recorded? That was the whole point. If you just would have recorded this, we wouldn't have had any issues, and that Peter Strzok character would not have been able to rewrite it, and everything would have been hunky-dory. Well, Jim Casey's got a little bit of insight on that most of us, including myself, simply don't have. I appreciate him being here. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.